All right, well, I'll share some things with you all now. I'm glad to be home. Of course, I'm always blessed to go to India and visit with the believers there and the leaders there, and always, always blessed to come back home because this is my home. And I love this a lot more than anywhere else in the world. So,
amen. You know.
And the fellowship here is just as sweet because we all love God just equally as much. We're all just as committed to God as anyone. We have a real great desire, I know, to see God's Word live. And, you know, that is one of the great reasons why I continue to go to India, visit with them, is because, you know, God is doing such great things there, just like He does anywhere where we believe Him. You know, I mean, we see great signs, miracles, and wonders wherever we put God to the test, wherever we decide to choose to believe Him and believe what He's promised, we see great signs, miracles, and wonders. In India, you know, some of the testimonies that I heard, again, all manner of sickness, all manner of disease is being healed among the people. And that is because they are not reluctant to believe, not reluctant to see, you know, the power of God in their life. And that is many times what they're presented with. It's just the simple truth that, well, if you believe God, you will see the power of God work in your life. Does it get any more complicated than that? I don't think so. You know, when the disciples came to Jesus and said, why couldn't we cast the spirit out of this young boy? He looked at him and he said, well, it's quite simply because of your unbelief. That's all. You know, believing is what makes the difference in our lives. Choosing to believe what God's Word says or choosing to believe what men may say and what your five senses may pick up. You know, if it's contrary to God's Word, then you're going to see those results. But if you choose to believe God's Word, you're going to see that result in your life. We've seen it time and time again. We've put God to the test time and time again. You know, I was only there for 2 weeks, this trip, but it was no less powerful, no less inspiring, no less exciting than any other trip I've ever been on. It continues to stir me up every time I go. And it's because of the great testimonies that I hear. A man born blind was healed, is now seeing. A woman came to a fellowship. She was late for the fellowship, one of the fellowships we were at. She shared her testimony with Sangit and some of us who were standing by. 2 years ago, she had gone blind and deaf in one ear. A week before we met her, she had been delivered and she got her sight back and her hearing back. A woman's baby was born and shortly after died. She called someone. They said, yes, it's available for your baby to be raised, to be alive. Hours had passed. They ministered to the baby. Immediately it began to cry. You know, there is nothing that is impossible for God. And the whole key lies within our very heart. That's it. You know, are we willing to believe that what we read in the Bible is about a living and true God who still is a living and true God? Are we willing to believe that? Are we willing to believe what men have said about Him over the past 1,000 years or so, 2,000 years? God hasn't changed any. He sent His only begotten Son because He loved the world. He didn't just send Jesus Christ for Israel. He sent His only begotten Son for the entire world. So that anyone who would come and believe who that man was could see everlasting life, could have it. And with that everlasting life comes completeness in every category. You know, we can see today the same things, the same miracles, the same signs, the same wonders. You know, we look. I've heard some people say, you know, well, it's different in India. It's just different there. I mean, you go out in the streets here in the United States and everybody's heard of Jesus Christ. They're just a little confused as to who he really is. But they've heard of him. Yeah, they're actually, you know, more than not, you see Christians out there. Oh yeah, there's a growing number of Muslims. There's plenty of Jewish communities out there. And yet, what are all of those things? They're nothing but religions. Nothing but religions. What's so different between Christianity and the Sikhs or the Hindus or the Muslims? What is it? Is there any difference between religions? No, they're all religions. But God is real. God is true. God never made a religion. He never made a denomination. In the beginning, He created the heavens and the earth. It doesn't say in the beginning, God created religion. No. A little time went by and men created religion. Men created denominations. It's all men. That's why when, you know, it's interesting, we may listen to this testimony from Happy later on today. I know with the leaders, I for sure wanted them to hear it, and some of you can stick around if you'd like to listen to it. But one of the things that he said was when he was involved in a situation in Faizabad, where he went to speak the word, people were asking, well, what religion are you with? What religion are you from? He said, well, I'm a Sikh. I'm from the Sikh religion. You know, when I first heard it, I thought, that's astounding. Here's a guy who, in the name of Jesus Christ, has done many signs, miracles, and wonders. Healed many people. And yet, when asked, what religion are you? Well, my religion is Sikh. But I serve the living and true God. Do you know who you are? Are you a Christian? Maybe so, I don't know. Maybe that's the religion you were raised in. Maybe you were religion. Maybe your religion was a Jew. Maybe it was Muslim. But when you come to know the true God, none of that matters. Maybe you're a Roman Catholic. Who cares? Because in Christ, we are now sons of God. That's what God has made us. And we serve the living and the true God. We live for Him. We live our lives before Him and for Him. Religion has never done anything but bring people away from God. And God all the time is saying, come here. Just come here. Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. You know, I can't remember all of the testimonies that I heard in the fellowships. I just can't remember them all. A lot of the recordings that we did didn't come out because, you know, of distractions and, you know, a lot of activity. But I want to bring you to a fellowship. I want to bring you to the fellowship that I sat in Nepal. And so we need to turn the television on. In Delhi for the first couple of days. And then... Ah! It works. So, after we sat through the Leaders Fellowship in Delhi, there, and it was just Delhi, and there were about 80 people there. A lot of them were young leaders. And they had a lot of great testimonies. But most of what was so striking among that fellowship, each one was allowed to share. They each had 10 minutes to share. what was on their heart, a little bit of the word if they wanted to, but basically their testimony. And what was most striking was their desire to live for God. Some of them had just recently gotten the Word and they just wanted to live for God. Some of them had been in the Word for 3-4 years. And they hadn't come to that point yet where they really wanted to do something for God until just recently. But it was all about them being open to God working in their heart. You know, like it says in the Word, that it's God that works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. If we are open to God, He will show you His desire for your life. He will cause you to have great desire to live for Him. And that's what was so striking about the Leaders' Fellowship in India, in Delhi. After that Delhi Leaders' Meeting, we went to Nepal. We flew into Kathmandu and we drove the following day to Narayangat, where we visited with Puran and his fellowship. Then we went to a city that was new to the fellowships. They'd only been there for maybe, 8 months ago is when the fellowship started. And that's the fellowship I want to take you to. It's the fellowship in Pokhara, Nepal. And if I can figure out how to do this, we'll go there. This is what I need. I need this one. And with the music you're listening to is Ram Singh, his CD. He has a CD now. I call it Ram Singh Sings. Praise to God. Yeah, something. You know. actually, that song is called Jai Yahuwah, which means praise Jehovah, praise God. When they sat and they read or interpreted the lyrics to us, and you know, in India, a lot of the songs that they write are like psalms. Well, most all of the songs that they write are like psalms. They speak of the hardship that they'd been through and how that they'd turned their hearts to God, to the true God, and now they have blessings. And that's why they have praise to God. And this song, Jai Yehovah, or Jai Yahuwah, starts with Jai Yahuwah, Jai Yahuwah, Jai Yahuwah Deva is the first line and the chorus of it. And when the main singer, like Ram Singh, will recite that, and then the congregation will recite it back. And it goes back and forth like that. And what that means is, praise Jehovah, our God. I felt like I was sitting with Asaph, the psalmist, as they translated these words. And I'll get a copy of the translation of the words so that at some future time I can share with you, because it is inspired, every word. So we wound up going anyway to this new fellowship. We're going to Pokhara. And Pokhara, by the way, we found out when we got there, is the number one tourist destination in Nepal. Wow. The number one.
Why?
Why? Well, because they thought they had everything. But now they really do. Because now they have the Word of God. Well, you'll see why. Because it's a very beautiful place. You can see 3 of the 8 highest peaks in the world.
Oh, wow.
From Pokhara. And this is on our way there. We're driving through the mountains, actually the foothills, and just a few pictures of the scenery, which is very beautiful. As we began to approach, you can see those, what looks like clouds, are really snow-capped peaks of the Himalayas. Yes. Yeah, they at the fellowship they gave us each gifts. And I had wondered where this photograph was from. You can send that around, but because I have a refrigerator magnet from 2 years ago when I went to Nepal, and I said, "Wow, I'd like to see that place one day," and this is where we were. So God answered that prayer for me, and I'm sure I wasn't the only one praying. Yeah. Nothing, just scenery on these little villages on the road that we passed through. And eventually, you know, came into the city of Prokhoro, which was very much like most cities in that area in Nepal as well as India. You know, very much rural on the outskirts, and some very beautiful, but then some very depressed and oppressed areas as well in the city. Much poverty there. So there's Ashish, our brother Ashish, came along to assist in translating as well as Preet. So everyone is just settling in, getting ready to sing a little bit in their traditional way. And of course Ram Singh led us in a song, as well as here's the man who, this is not Raju, he's not the one who started the fellowship, but it's just one of the believers that has decided that he wants to live for God and be a leader. And he shares his testimony at the end, and I'm going to share that with you. But he did a great job leading the fellowship, leading singing and prayer and testimonies. And I didn't get his name, but I loved his hat. And as a matter of fact, I have two of those hats that I bought 2 years ago, and I forgot to bring them with me. Like a numbskull. Because my thinking was, that next time I return to Nepal, I'm going to wear my Nepalese hat. And so that they, you know, they think I'm a native, and they quit looking at me funny. And those hats are really cool, because all of them, you know, all the old-timers wear those hats there. You know, and they're specifically Nepal. Yeah, I mean, nobody outside of Nepal wears those hats. In India, they don't wear those hats.
You should describe it so, to the people on the
day. Yeah, well, it's like a good humor hat with, you know. but they bash them different ways. Everybody has their own style of how they bash them, you know. So it's kind of, it's unique. Yeah. So here we are. We're getting started with the fellowship. And doing some singing. A lot of these, several of the believers, like that woman there was from Krishna's Fellowship, and they made the trip. It was a four and a half hour drive by bus. And for them, it took even longer to come. But they wanted to come from Narayangat to this fellowship just to be with us as much as they could. And it was really a blessing, so... We're singing some songs, and I just took a few pictures. So now he's opening it up for the testimonies.
Are the headphones for translation?
Yes. Yeah. It just didn't... it takes a lot less when we have the headphones, we have the wireless headsets. And Hal Hitchcock sang a couple songs that he had translated, his songs that he translated over into Hindi, and Tom assisted him on the harmonica to give a little flavor. So this is Purin, and he's just saying a few things to the fellowship. And again, Purin lives in outside of Narayangat, which is about a 4.5 hour drive from Pokhara, and that's if you're in a non-stop vehicle. You know, most of them have to take public transportation buses, and it takes, you know, an entire day, you know, to get, you know, 10, 12 hours, because they keep stopping along the way to pick up more passengers, let them off. So Purin just shared a few things with everyone, and then the testimonies began. That right there is Raju. He and his wife, Gyanu, started the fellowship. They got in the word about 13 months ago, and 8 months ago they began their fellowship. They met Purin in Narayangat which is where they heard the word. And then they came back to their home and started a fellowship about 8 months ago. And that, of course, the one on the bottom left, that's Krishna from out by where Puran is. He has a fellowship out there in the rural area. And, of course, Ashish and then Happy from Kanpur.
Donnie, which one was the guy who actually went back at his village and started the fellowship? His family wouldn't have anything to do with him? And
that's Puran.
That's Puran.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Puran. Okay. Let's see. Before this woman, this young lady here shared her testimony, there was a man who shared a testimony. I don't think I got his picture, but he was the first one to share a testimony. He said that he had headaches, constantly headaches, and they would like start and they wouldn't stop until, you know, they were all the way through his body, like down to his feet. And just entire body would ache all the time. And he heard the word, he was ministered to, and he was healed. He no longer has headaches. This young lady here, I believe I heard her name to be Nashami, and she has been in the word for 2 months. She had a brain tumor. The doctors told her she would die. She was very depressed because of that. But she came finally to hear the word. She would sacrifice to idols, you know, still find no help. And when she did come to the word, she was ministered to, and now you can see she's fine. She's healed. The doctors had told her she'd be dead in days. She's not dead. She was very thankful. Very, very thankful. This woman was 10 months in the Word, and her testimony was that she was constantly sick. She had pain. She had was taking medications for her blood. I'm not sure exactly what. But she also, her son, you know, had problems with drugs. She came to the Word. She got ministered to, and she's healed completely. She's thrown away all her medications. She doesn't need them anymore. And her son is also delivered. And she kind of shared a little bit about that, but he stood up and shared also later. So we'll see him in a minute. And again, a lot of these people that shared, I didn't get their names. Some of them I did, some of them, I'm not sure if they're right. This woman's name, I think, was Neva. And she had, for 2 years, sore throat, constant sore throat, chronic sore throat. She had allergies. She had to walk around with a mask over her face, you know, to prevent the allergies. But she still consistently, you know, had all this pain and sore throat. She went to witch doctors, witchcraft, for help. You know, never any problem. But she heard the word. She was ministered to. She actually got born again and was healed from that time. And when she was on her way home, she said she never made it home. She didn't go home that day because her neighbors saw her walking normally without her mask on. And it was like, whoa, what's happened to you? And so she shared with them. She shared with all of her neighbors how she'd been delivered. She shared with her family. And she said, you know, now many of them come to fellowship. And the last thing she said was, I'm not going to sit quietly. I'm going to speak because I'm thankful that God healed me. This young lady, Anjita, I think. She's 10 months in the Word. And she had chronic tonsillitis. She lived in Saudi Arabia. I should back up. Okay, so she... I don't know why it's not showing her face. But she lived in Saudi Arabia. And she had, you know, this I guess tonsillitis or tonsils were infected to such a point that it left holes in her throat. And, you know, the doctors really didn't know what to do for her. But when she met Raju and heard that she could be healed, she believed it and she was instantly healed. And she made emphasis about that, that it didn't take time. She was instantly healed and her throat was fine. Quite a testimony. This is Raju and Gyan, who's one of their sons. And he gave his testimony. He had tonsillitis and the doctors told him, well, we have to take your tonsils out. He didn't like that idea. So he decided he was just going to believe, and so his parents ministered to him and he didn't have to have his tonsils out. So they were healed. And he was very happy. I don't know. He didn't say how old he is. I think he's about 10. And he has a younger brother who also shares his testimony. This young man is the son of the woman who was healed. He's the one who was into drugs. And he gave his testimony how that, you know, he just asked God to help him get through this and be done with it. And, you know, God did. And he's very thankful and very blessed, because the reason he did is because he saw his mother healed. And so he decided that he could get deliverance too. And, you know, he again is very thankful, and his desire is to work for God. This woman called her problem an issue of blood. She had pain, constant pain throughout her whole body. She called, you know, an issue of blood. And she'd been to witch doctors using witchcraft. She, you know, spent money getting necklaces from the witchcraft people and never helped, never did anything, never healed her. And again, she heard the word of God. She was on medication. She heard the word at the fellowship, was delivered, and, you know, doesn't need her medication anymore. She's completely healed. And she said when she was ministered to, she felt the sickness just go out of her. This young man, he stood up and shared his testimony. He lives and works in Pokhara. He had epilepsy. He had frequent fits. He was on medication for it. He doesn't need his medications anymore. He's delivered. He was very thankful too. This is Raju and Gyanu's other son, and he shared his testimony that, you know, he had a really bad ear infection, you know, with a lot of pus and infection in there. And, you know, he was ministered to and it was healed immediately. You know, the infection just went away. You know, and his ear's fine. So, you know, again, all these testimonies are from the last several months. You know, 8 months ago is when they started their fellowship. And the reason that they're seeing such great growth is because of such great deliverance. You know, and their willingness to share. Their willingness to share that with other people. This man is actually the husband of the woman that had the blood problem, the issue of blood. When he saw her healed, he knew that he could get healed also. He had chronic headaches and vertigo, you know, where he'd spin, get dizzy all the time. He's fine. You know, he'd been to doctors also and they couldn't help him. But he's ministered to. And he actually, the way he heard about it was that he works with the guy, that young man who was leading the fellowship. He works with him, and he shared with him that, you know, you can be healed. And see, he had gone to church. The guy, and I'll tell you a little bit about the guy who was running the fellowship. He was studying to be a pastor, a Christian pastor. So he was a part of the Christian church. And this guy met him and worked with him. So he'd been to the churches. He'd been to the Christian church. But they didn't have the right doctrine about healing. They didn't know that it was available, and they didn't know it until came to fellowship. You know? And again, when he saw his wife was healed, he decided he would believe also. And he's just been in the Word of God for 4 months, he said. And he's very thankful because now they're both totally fine. Both of them are delivered. This next woman has been in the Word for about 3 months. Santu Ma, I think. Santu. And she said Gyanu encouraged her because she had a lot of back pain, a lot of sickness in her body all the time. But now, you know, she's delivered. She's healed. And she's very thankful too. And she wants to help other people as well. You know, this young lady, Saluti, I think, is what I heard her name to be. She actually had no physical problems at all. But she had a great deal of depression and sadness. She had no joy or happiness in her life. And then she came to fellowship. She began to learn of the true God and what God had for her. And now she's just blessed. She's happy. She finally has some joy in her life. That was her testimony. This lady is Lakshmi, I think. She was about 3 months in the Word, and she had a problem eating. She couldn't really eat. Anytime she'd eat rice, she said it would just make her stomach swell and you know, very uncomfortable, and she couldn't really eat. You know, and the doctors didn't know what to do for her. And now she can eat whatever she wants. That was her testimony. Said, I can eat whatever I want. I'm very happy.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So, let's see. This woman, she had a lot of stomach ache and headache and dizziness. You know, and again, another person who went to everywhere to try and find help. She'd go to the doctor, she'd go to witchcraft. You know, and obviously witchcraft is very heavy in that area, just as well as throughout India. But then she said she confessed Romans 10, 9 and 10, and now she's totally healed. She wasn't necessarily ministered to. She just born again, delivered. She's very happy too. This lady here, Ganu, for the last 2 years, she had a problem with passing out, you know, just fainting, passing out, being unconscious. And the doctors, you know, just tried to help her, really couldn't. She just had this chronic problem. And again, it was Gyanu, Raju's wife, who encouraged her and told her, well, if you just believe the true God, then you'll see the power of God in your life and you'll be healed. And she just chose to do that. And she's healed. She has no problem with passing out anymore. So she's very thankful too. This next young man had been... first time he came to the fellowship was a week ago. And he had a lot of problems, you know, with his stomach and his physical body. And he was ministered to, and now he's fine. So many testimonies, you know, of deliverance. Everyone's testimony. Just not having to wait for their healing, just being healed. Some, you know, like the one woman, born again, healed. This woman had sinus problems. She had chronic coughs all the time. She was on medication for it. She was ministered to a month ago. She's completely fine now. You can see she's very happy. This woman here, also problems with her stomach and with her knees too. She also had kidney stones. She's delivered. She says, now I can walk and run wherever I want. She had problems in her knees. She could hardly walk. She stood right up. You know, a lot of these people, you know, in their fellowships, they sit on the floor. You know, concrete floor. You know, I mean, she just got up like it was nothing, like she was 10 years old, just bounded up. So, very, very, very incredible. And this is Gyanu. She's Raju's wife. She's the one who's, her and her husband started this fellowship. And 13 months ago is when she first heard the word. She also had a lot of stomach problems. She had been in and out of hospitals. She'd gotten, you know, a lot of medications that she had been administered to, you know, by the doctors, and taking shots for certain things, I guess maybe allergies or something. And she and her husband met Purin somehow. That fellowship in, you know, 4.5 hours away, and I'm not sure clear on the details of how they actually connected, but, you know, again, she was ministered to. She was healed of all of her problems, all of her physical problems, and she decided, you know, that she wanted to live for God, because in her heart, she realized, she said, you know, what the doctors could not do, God was able to do for her. And it really became something, you know, in her heart that she just could not keep back. So she recognized that, you know, it wasn't just her, but there were billions of people that needed God's help. And she decided that she wanted to, you know, reach the people and tell them of God's wonderful power. And so she had it in her heart to start the fellowship. So her and her husband. And her husband also, Raju, got healed of some things also. And that's why together, you know, they're really seeing the Word of God move. And this, again, 8 months, there were probably, you know, 50 people at the fellowship. So, those were the testimonies. And then, the man who was leading the fellowship, this young man, decided he needed to share his testimony as well. And he shared his testimony that he was studying to be a pastor, a Christian pastor. And during the course of time, he had a kidney stone, a lot of pain, you know, fever, all the things that go along with that. He went to a doctor, and the doctor said, well, in order to really find out, you know, what's wrong, you know, you're going to have an x-ray, like 500 rupees for the x-ray. So he went back to the head pastor, and the head asked, you know, well, can you help me with this? I don't have the money. Can you help me? Yes, we'll get you the 500 rupees, which is not that much, maybe like $11. But it's a lot of money for them. So he gets the x-ray, and yes, they tell him, yeah, you have a kidney stone. You know, you have kidney stones, and that's the problem. And they're pretty bad. We need to operate. You know, you need this operation to get rid of them, or else, you know, your life is in danger. This is not a good thing. You know, this is very dangerous for him. So apparently there were some pretty big stones. And so he said, well, what's that going to cost? He said, 20,000 rupees. So he's like, okay, I don't have that. So he went back to the head pastor again, you know, at the school. Told him, I need your help. He said, oh, okay, we'll see what we can do. He raised the money. He raised, you know, he put it out there. He said, we'd like, you know, contributions to help. It's going to cost 20,000 rupees. Well, he collected the 20,000 rupees, and the head pastor didn't give him the money. He kept it himself. Spent it on some other things. That's when this young man realized that perhaps there's something wrong. Not just with him physically, but with this church. So, and he really didn't know what to do, because then his wife became ill also, and, you know, he's in a lot of trouble. But, you know, God knew his heart. God got him connected with Raju and Gyanu. And they taught him that God was able to heal him and that God would heal him. And so he did. He believed. He understood finally the truth. He understood the sound doctrine, the right doctrine that the churches weren't teaching. And he was healed. So he went back to the doctor just to get another x-ray. The doctor said, you know, was very surprised. What happened? what happened to those stones that, you know, you had? And so he told them, well, I've been delivered. I've been healed. And now he's with the fellowship and he's doing what he always wanted to do, live for God. The other thing he added was that his father is a black magician. And his father would try and, you know, had tried, you know, to do certain things to heal him. You know, once he found out that he was sick, father couldn't help. And so he went and he shared with his father, no, you know, your stuff doesn't work, but the true God does. And his father's not yet accepted it, but he said he knows in his heart, because he's prayed and he's shared the word with him, that it's a done deal. That was the way he put it. It's a done deal. He'll believe. So he's very thankful, and he knows, you know, that God's alive and real. And that was pretty much the end of the testimonies for that fellowship. Not too bad. Then Johnny Sandoval shared a little bit his testimony. He was very, very blessed. And then Happy, they asked Happy to share the word. And Happy shared some of the word for about 5-10 minutes. And Happy's very excited. I mean, this guy is like a ball of fire. And he just really walks by the Spirit.
Is that his real name?
That's his name, yes, Happy. That's his nickname. I don't know what his real name is.
But
that's what they call him. Happy, I met Happy a few years ago. Yeah. He's been around for a while.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he's one of the leaders from Kanpur. Yeah. And he and Ajay, his kind of companion in trouble, or travel, he went, I'll share that with you. Actually, I'll get it off of my player and we'll listen to that for anyone who wants to listen to it. But he's just really, really, really excited about moving the word. And he just goes anywhere he goes. He's like Philip, just, you know, get out there and speak the word no matter what. Just preach it on the street corners. Just believes God to open a door for him to speak. You know, and boy, he gets himself in some good ones, which is what his testimony is all about in Fezabad, which is really, it's like something out of the Book of Acts. It's really exciting, where he gets arrested, and, you know, him and Ajay get arrested, and God just works, you know, and he just speaks as God inspires him to speak, and by the time it's done, he's got the keys to the city. You know, it's just like unbelievable. So it's really, really wonderful, though. And, you know, and it's funny because the way he describes it is that all these political guys and, you know, the religious guys, they all come to finally see him. You know, they hear about all this stuff and they come to see him, and it's like, you're just a baby. What? How can you? What is this? Because they come expecting to see some old gray-haired guy, you know. They see this young whippersnapper. Anyway, they just have a ball moving the word, and but he's a wonderful, wonderful man of God, and that's Ajay, his companion, and they together are really moving the word in Fezabad, which is a new outreach, and that's Gyanu. She also shared the word with the fellowship, and she was great because, boy, she's just a little firecracker. There's a lot of women in the fellowship, you know. But their culture is, you know, the men, you know, they're supposed to be the leaders. But, you know, she's like, no, don't wait for them. You're a leader. You go, you speak, you know, you heal them. You're ready now. You don't wait. Go. she was just a real firecracker. You know? She's like, I guess, bringing women's lib to Nepal, I guess. I don't know. But she really spoke to their hearts, because, you know, a lot of them, you know, because of their culture, they're reluctant to move out without their husbands. But yet, you know, she was just encouraging them. You know, you don't have to wait. Because God's called you, you do it. And that was pretty much the close of the fellowship. She was the last one to share, I believe. She's just a wonderful, yeah, she's wonderful, young. And then, of course, Sangit shared and encouraged them, like he usually does at the end of the fellowships. He's the last one to share. They honor him that way, and he shares the word, encourages them. And it's usually very short. So we ate lunch together, and then we took a couple of pictures. Got to take those pictures, you know. So Happy was taking the pictures, and it was funny because just about half of those people there in the picture had a camera. So he had a whole arm full of cameras. All the cameras hung on his arm with the strap.
What are the scarves?
What are the other scarves?
The scarves. What are the scarves?
Well, that's a tradition that they have in Nepal. It's actually, we came to find out that it's a Buddhist tradition where they honor their guests and they, you know, they greet their guests and they give them flowers and they give them a scarf to show that they're, you know, an honored guest in their home. So they gave us each that scarf and threw flowers at us.